Even now, Father, as we gather in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your presence, Lord, be with us. And as thou, Lord, open up our understanding to thy word, be a portion, O God, a promise of a portion, a blessing, O God, be bestowed upon each and every one of us that hear with an ear of the Spirit, that can tackle, Father, what you have from the beginning of this creation of the world, have already blessed us in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. They be granted us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated and let us go straight to the Word. You know, there is never a day like this day that we live in when God opened up His Word to us to see, to enjoy the, you know, His Word and the presence of God in our life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now let us go to the book of where we left off the last week. We have been dealing with Ezekiel chapter 1 and also Ezekiel chapter 10. And quickly now go to that two chapters and we look at the one particular verse in each of these two chapters. Chapter 1, and we have in verse 5. Alright, here he says, also of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. Now here, when we are still on the subject of angelology, or in another form we can say angelophany, if we talk about the appearance of angels. Christology, studying of Christ, Christolophany is the appearance of Christ and the manifestation of Christ. Geology is studying of God. Geophany is the appearance of God, how He manifests Himself. So when we look at angelology or study of angel, we also look at angelophany, how they really appear. Alright? How they manifest themselves. So now in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 5, here we read about these four living creatures, and the Bible used the word living creatures. Now, go over to chapter 10, Ezekiel chapter 10, and we have verse 15 here. And the cherubim were lifted up, and this is the living creature that I saw by the river of Kiba. Now here we have, it's the same four living creatures, but now the word, as I said last week, the word cherub is used, or cherubim in our English language. So, whether we are talking about angels or living creatures or beasts, even as the book of Revelation, if you go over to the book of Revelation chapter 4, you have over here John saw these creatures around, or the four beasts around the throne of God. And he says that here in verse 6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, or round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. So now here is the four beasts. Oh, in fact, the better word is not to use the word beast. It sounds kind of strange. Rather, it should be living creatures. Because when you talk about beasts, you are knowing that beasts or animals are living creatures. Eagles are living creatures. But when you say beast, it sounds like, well, what do we say? Like an eagle. An eagle is not a beast. Alright? And isn't that right? It's a different category of life on this earth. So they are living creatures. Man is a living creature. So actually the word here should be translated in the book of Revelation as should be translated as living creatures. And now of course we find that the contradictions of people trying to figure out what a seraphim is, saying that they have six wings because of what is described here in the book of Revelation, and over in the book of Ezekiel they only have four wings. Right? And it's used the word living creatures, cherubim, beast. So now we all can understand that even though what Ezekiel saw the first time, the second time, there is some slight description of what's happening around the throne. And what we see here in the book of John, again, is yet another different setting. What we understand is that when God gave a vision is to literally, in one way or another, make you to understand what God wants to convey to you in symbols or by form of images, so that you could understand these things. Like in any discussion, when, as I said before, when you talk about the realm of the spirits, where we have in this fifth dimension, we have these angelic beings moving around us, only that we don't see them with our eyes. When they move around, of course, you will think that they might be flying around this earth with wings. But it is not true. And also the same thing with demons or fallen angels. You might be thinking that they are moving around hideously with in black or long hairs or whatever it is, you know. It is not true, because they are spirits. You see? And a spirit being is just like wind. And if you know in the Bible, there are these licks of fire around the thrones of God. They are the seven spirits, right? That around the throne of God, that stood before the throne of God. Remember? And what Ezekiel saw in his record, in the book of Ezekiel, you see a lot of fire, a lot of amber color. And same thing over here in the book of Revelation. Everything that you see around the throne of God, everything that is alive, is always glowing with light. That's why we talk about this halo, you know, or aura around a person. Because of the life. When a person dies, there's no heat and it's cold. And you know, in modern warfare, they use this, I don't know what they call it, the thermal scan. If you have fever, and if you have got a soldier who is alive, going through a battlefield, you know, you can scan, you can see heat around him. It senses it. When a person is dead, it's cold, there's no heat. Do you understand that? So there is only a difference between what is life produced by heat, what is cold, is death. And so what is fire, and what is water, and what is light, and what is darkness. That kind of metaphoric comparison for us to really understand. But as long as a being is alive, and as far as spirits are concerned, the Bible says that God had made the angels spirit, and that they are also flaming fire. A flame of fire. And likewise, the Bible used the word in Paul in his epistle when he quoted that God has made his minister a flame of fire. Quoting, of course, from the book of Proverbs. Now, you can see then that the way that metaphor are used or figure of speech are used, as far as the word of God is concerned, as far as the spirit of God is concerned, angels, they were created spirit. And that which stood before the Lord, they are licks of fire. So they are all concerning life, fire, brightness. So those angelic beings that actually move in the spirit realms, they are spirit, and they are actually, we can say, they are life. They are light moving around. That's why you said about, when we talk about the flying saucer. You know, people say they are seeing flying saucer, these streaks of light. The Bible said there are those judgment angels. Do you remember that? You see, you know, unless we know the Word of God, you see, Brother Ben knows what angels are. They can tell that these are judgment angels, because they move around and form light. And the Bible says this, and don't forget, that even as much as we talk about the angels being light form, spirit form, metaphorically for we can understand, that Satan himself is able to transform into an angel of light. Isn't it right? Because Lucifer himself, or Satan before he was, and before he became Satan, was Lucifer. And the Bible says he was most beautiful, son of all wisdom. He was bright. Is that right? And so he was actually the cherub. The cherubim, or the cherub, sorry, that covered, that guards, that overlooked all the others. Principalities of angels and dominions of angels. In all the different spheres where all the different angels, different hierarchies of angels actually operates. Now when I speak about hierarchy, I'm not talking about the one that the pseudo Dionysus are categorizing them. Like, you know, we have, even the Church of God, we have the different levels of ministration. Isn't that right? We have the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teachers. We have the elders, we have the deacons, we have the help, the administrators. You understand that? So every one of them, the Church of God, or even in the kingdom of God in the future, you will see all these hierarchies. These are all different levels of ministrations, or gift that is given to the people of God. So in the level of angels, the same thing. Lucifer, in fact, I believe he's the one that is the highest. Because the Bible describes him the way that he was described. It was never described of Gabriel like that. Neither was ever described of Michael like that. Neither any other angels. Because there are names of angels that we do not know. Every creature that God created has a name. You like it or not? Is that right? Even he called the stars by name. And I said that if the stars never represent something, that means if they have a name, you have a name. Because you are a star. You are put a star up there to display the gospel. Is that right? So you have a name. So God never called us without calling us a name. He doesn't call us by hey, way, whatever it is. He called us by name. So then when we look at what is described here in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1:10 and Revelation, it's actually all the same thing. It's only that all this imagery are to give you an understanding of the glory that surrounds the throne of God, of how God operates, and the activity that's going around the throne of God. So you don't expect, as I said, when angel appears to you, literally, physically, in a form that you can touch, they will never have wings. They will never have wings. As I said this once again, God created man in His own image. He created the angel in His own image. Spirit form. That's what Adam was when he was created. And in his likeness. That likeness is a physical feature. And the beginning before angels were created, what came out of God was that Logos. Remember? That Logos that came out in a word body. And we know that there has only one face. And that face was the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand? And when the Logos came out of the Almighty Spirit to become visible, to be able to bring forth a visible creation, He doesn't have wings. And so if that is the image or the likeness of God, then all angels do not have wings. They are all in the same likeness. Wings, as I said one more time, let you understand, depict speed and flight. Do you see that? And only in visions do you have that. When you see in visions, you know, angels moving around, they usually normally have wings. And that's the vision that Ezekiel saw, that's the vision that John saw. They all have wings, depicting speed, you know. 6 wings, 4 wings, 2 wings. To show the speed, that's all that there is. The wheels, within the wheels. And you know that when you go to heaven, you're not going to see those wheels. The way that you see in the book of Ezekiel. Huh? You understand that those are talking about the eyes and the life of God that always, forever moving around the world, around this earth. Angelic beings are sent forth. As judgment angels, angelic beings are sent forth to keep watch over you. Like those things, like you know, there was in the day of Job, that when the sons of God gathered, here came in Lucifer, came in Satan. And God said, what have you been doing? He said, oh, I've been going around the world, right? Sure. That's what he is doing. So it's in the visions and dreams and imagery, that's all we see. Angelic being going around with wings and so forth for speed reasoning. Do you understand? A good question was asked by the brother. When Elijah was cut off in the chariot of fire, was that literally a chariot of fire? Was it really a chariot that came down, you know, horses and fiery chariot that catched Elijah away? Remember, Elijah was walking with Elisha. Is that right? And Elijah told Elisha, If you ever see me go, huh? Then you get a double portion. Is that right? So all of a sudden, of course, here came the cherub of fire coming down. Now it was shown to Elisha. I think the only person who saw it was Elisha. Remember that? Okay? And it was a vision. But it was coming out so fast in the form of fiery chariot to catch Elijah away. And the same thing, you know, the only thing that he could describe this thing, when you see something that come out and whisk the person away, and it comes in the form of fire, you know the angel, they are coming to catch Elijah away. Elijah away. We sing the song, "O Come Angel Band." It's the same. Coming to catch me away. And the transformation is such to catch us away. When Jesus Christ was taken to Mount Transfiguration, there were three disciples that were with him. Right? Peter, James, and John. And the Bible said, Jesus was transfigured before them. And he was lifted up. There standing beside him, Elijah and Moses. And now, people believe that they are actually seeing literally Elijah there. They are seeing literally Moses there. They believe what they saw was real. But Jesus Christ said, tell the visions to no man. It was a vision. Do you understand? It was a vision. Now, by then, people may ask again, how come the disciple knew that one of them was Moses? The other was Elijah. How did they know? Well, in the drawing, you might draw Jesus Christ standing in the center, you know, the image that we all get of Jesus Christ over the years through the icon or painting that people had painted or made. And then Moses, maybe he is the one with the white beard and carrying two tablets of stones of the law. And then Elijah, maybe he's carrying a staff in his hand. And maybe that's the image that you might be having. But let me tell you how the disciples knew that who they were was because of the Spirit. The Spirit that the disciple had understand of the Word of God, understand what Christ has been ministering all these times that they were with him. And when the vision appeared before them, they knew by what we call kingship spirit, an understanding, a revelation unfold before them as to who was standing beside Jesus Christ. You don't have to figure that out. If the Lord give you a vision and you see somebody standing before you, somehow or other, that person, the way that vision depicts to you or the vision is unfold to you, you will have an understanding who that was, especially when it concerns the Lord Jesus Christ. How did Abraham knew that was Christ when Christ appeared? Remember? How does he know? There are people who have visions and dreams of Jesus. How did they know that was Christ? Because in the dream, if the Lord wants to show you something, there is something that God will make you know who they are. How do you know those are angelic beings if they have come around, flowing around in white or in amber color? Because by revelation, understanding of what you have in the Word of God that you have gathered, all this information, you know. Huh? The time when Brother John Mark, when he was a young man at that time, and he didn't even know the Lord Jesus, you know, only of course he had been to Catholic Church, and now as a small boy, you know, but that was not his religious life. But when the Lord Jesus appeared before him, he looked at that face and know that is not an ordinary person. And later on he realized that when he grew up and accept the Lord, then he knew that there was the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? So, there when we look at visions or dreams, all things that unfold before us are not literal at all. They are just visions. The streets of gold, trees planted by the rivers of water, the tree of life in the midst of that road or the river of life and so on that you read in the book of Revelation. When you go to heaven, you're not going to see that. I do not know whether you have ever come across the different books that have been published by charismatic preachers and woman preachers, writer, they wrote about a dream of heaven. And they can describe to you there are so many days that they have been to heaven and so many days that even they go to hell. And you know, when I read some of this, I know that that person is not telling the truth. It is writing a fictitious book, an imagination. Thing that she never really or he never really experienced. Going and believing that when he went to heaven, it was literal. That heaven actually has a road paved with gold, a street paved with gold, and there was a clear blue water there in heaven. And Jesus Christ met him and he asked Jesus to baptize him in the pool of blue water. So a lot of things when the person describes, you know that there's something wrong here. Huh? The question I ask again, Brother Gant, what about those saints that came riding back on white horses? Are those horses real? Do you think it's real? Are you going to come back riding white horses? What does the white horses represent in the Bible? What is that metaphor? What is the imagery of this white horse? Why not riding on black horses? Why white horses? Are only horses in heaven white? Do you understand what I'm saying? Why is the sword of the Lord always in the Bible? The fiery sword. The angels are always in flame of fire. White. Why never any other color? Except for amber. Amber means, you know, fiery. Why never other color? Like green or purplish or something like that. Or bright red or blue. Why not? So that gives you understanding now that all that which you see are metaphor. You read in the Bible, Book of Revelation, symbols. You get it? Huh? That's why you talk about the scorpions, the sting and so forth, breathing fire, face of a man, breastplate, like, you know, like a soldier wearing, all these things. All these descriptions are telling you something. The local that come up with long hairs, you know. Do you understand now? Okay, let us go further. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 5. And here, of course, we already touched it last week, but let's go over it. And over it, the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. And also over in Exodus chapter 40 and verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and glory of God filled the tabernacle. The depiction therefore a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. The word that is used in pillar of fire, pillar of cloud, was only the difference in both shows the presence of God. Cloud comes more in a form, more gentle, to shroud. Alright? But fire shows a consuming, judgmental God when He comes in that form. So cloud more are gentle, covering, so that you will not see all that fearsome or the greatness of God in a way that it will blind you. Just a mighty angel that came down, shrouded with a cloud. But both shows the presence of God. So the cloud that comes into the tabernacle of God comes in very gently, not as a form of wrath.
You got it?
So both, again, as I said, they are words of metaphor that shows to us this presence of God Almighty. Now, being asked a question, are those things that you read in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and that pillar of fire stands between the Egyptian and Israel as they crossed the Red Sea. Was there literally a pillar of fire that you see in your movie, Ten Commandments? Of course, Hollywood dramatization is always there. See all this fire turning. And do you see really a pillar of clouds turned in the daytime? Right? Turning like a pillar, like a real pillar, like you know what a pillar is. Is that literally what you are supposed to see? If it was literal, so much so literal, why does Israel disobey to God when they see the pillar of fire? Without you wondering, I can tell you, if I see the pillar of fire, if we have a pillar of fire right now in the church, every Sunday we come fellowship, there was this fire standing here, standing. We will always be looking at the fire on it. And can you get your mind off that pillar of fire? Would you? You see it every day, present, huh? You come here for fellowship, this pillar of fire churning. Wow, no one of you will be singing a song, maybe you will be singing, but you won't probably want to hear a sermon. All your attention will be focused on this pillar of fire coming here. Do you think that's what the children of Israel see every day? This is what it is. Because people have been reading the Bible all the years and watching all the movie and they think, yeah, that's what it is. Do you know when the angel that came to burn up, I'm talking about the pillar of light, the move, right? Everybody can see it. The Burbank saw it. Do you understand? So when you look into a book of Exodus, when it's written like that, if you believe those things are literally what the eyes could see, then you have to understand. God, how the children saw it was, they have visions. But they don't see it every day. When God put the pillar of fire between the children of Israel and the Egyptian, they saw it, yes. And that's why the horses sensed it. They knew it. They cannot move forward. You remember the photograph that was taken of Brother Branham with his son standing on the rock? There was this, right? The camera captured it, but the eyes can't see it. Even that was which was above the head of Brother Branham. The eyes can't see it, but the camera saw it. And there are people who saw the light with their eyes because it was a vision. Do you understand that? Light just over in Uganda. The sister saw the light in a vision. The pillar of fire at the pulpit. And we were having the convention. But not everybody could see. If the Lord opens your eyes to see, you see it. Do you understand that now? Now, in Brother Brown's meeting, when he was ministering, you know, he prayed for the sick. Before he prayed, he just waited for the angel to come. But all the time, God's presence was there, isn't it? So when the angel came, then he sees visions as unfold to him. And sometimes he was distracted away from the person standing before him. Then he moved and he looked over the congregation. Right? Now he is seeing the Spirit of God moving as a form of pillar of fire or light. And then hang over somebody and the Lord will open a vision for him to see concerning the life of that person. Now if we were to, when Bob Abraham said, he went for the angel and he said, he's here. Now, how do you know he's here? You remember you watched that movie, the black and white one, the deep color to the deep? He was talking for about 15 minutes, saying, oh, you know what I'm waiting for? Yes, it's the angel of the Lord, right? He says he's waiting. He's waiting. But all time was talking. And there, everybody is waiting too, you know. Because what are we going to wait for? What do we see? And Brother Ben said, yes, he's here. Now you didn't see him. The people in the congregation did not see the angel. But Brother Ben saw him came. Do you understand the way that the Bible presents itself? You understand that? Yes. When there is a sign for the children of Israel to move and the cloud begin to move, there is a vision unfolding. Wait till the cloud moves, the children will move. Paul and Moses will say, get and move. It is not that the cloud were all moving in front. Everybody with their natural eye could see the cloud move, and everybody moving with the cloud. Or the pillar of fire move, everybody follow with the pillar of fire move. Imagery is something that is very strong for us to be able to understand. Supernatural thing happened all in all. Especially as far as things that are literal. God said to the children of Israel through Moses, I will send an angel before you and he'll lead you. Do you really see the angel walking ahead of them? Do you get a point now? Now we say God is leading us, the Holy Spirit is leading all. We say Christ is leading us. Do you really see Christ walking ahead of you? Holding your hand literally? And that's why it becomes a loving stop when we're discussing over on Friday about God's will. People have a choice to make. And when you make a wrong choice and everything, and you make a mess of your own life because you are stubborn or whatever you are, and then maybe you put everything, oh, it's God's will. You see. So we need to understand that though we read the book of Exodus, the pillar of fire, the pillar of God, yes, they do exist, they are real. But they do not literally mean that everyone sees with a literal eye and physical eye. That they are there in the camp of Israel every day that they can see it. And I can tell you one thing, if it does happen, literally every day a pillar of fire down there, all the children will be standing down there watching. All the adults will know. And yet, why did they fail? How could they have failed? This thing was so supernatural that they were there with their eyes to see it. How could they have failed? To disbelieve God. Huh? They were all there with them all the way in the wilderness for 40 years too. Until all those 20 above died. Yeah? How could they murmur? If someone can come to Moses, Moses, they murmur against Moses. Yet the pillar of fire literally was there. And how could they have done it if it was there? Why not? You think about it for a moment. I'm getting this across to you to see why the children of Israel failed. John talked about the word of life. Said that they have handled with their hands. Huh? What do you mean by handling the word of life with their hands? Jesus came, right? They had touched him with their hand. You know what I mean? Even the word that they speak, they handle with their hand. I told you that they said they really experience it. Judas is going to experience all those things. He even went out there casting out demons and healed the sick. And yet he failed. You understand that now? Alright? Daniel chapter 9. You know what? Few preachers ever want to come out to say what they ought to say about these things. If I were to write an article about the pillar of fire and the pillar of clouds in the book of Exodus, I would probably have a lot of brickbat thrown at me. Oh, but again, do not believe that there is a pillar of fire, that there is a pillar of clouds. No, I did not say I did not believe. They would say they were Christians. But they want to believe that it is literally there every day. For 40 years! Think about it. Some strange thing.
Vagana. They won't believe it. They won't believe it.
You see, the purpose, God shows something. You remember that prison serpent? They got from Moses to made and then put it on a pole. And lift it up, and so that everybody who look at it, who have been bitten by poisonous snake, will be healed. In the net. Right? It was only one time act. One time act only. And you think that later on somebody is bitten by a poisonous snake and take a look at the serpent, the versus serpent, do you think they get healed? Do you understand? That's why it's the same thing about this message that God had given us in this last day. The message is a one-time message to call us and tell us, preach to us to get out of the system. Get out of tradition and bondage of man and come back to the Word of God. It's a one-time thing. You see, you heard it. How many times have you heard the gospel? One time it's enough for you to be converted, right? Of course, you hear it every day, but then every time you hear the gospel, yes, Lord, forgive me, Lord, I want to be a savior. I want to be saved. And then you go about the baptism again. Every time you hear the gospel, do you do that? You don't. Right? Once is enough for your salvation. And every act, there's all the theophany of God in the Bible, Old Testament, appear only once. To depict something. And next time you appear again, you appear in another form to depict another part of the type that Christ will fulfill. Do you understand that? Now catch it, one form. The one that the captain of law holds appear before Gideon, is another form. You see. And every time they appear, it has only one kind of face. Same face. All the way. Do you understand, huh? Okay? Alright. So, let us go right now to Daniel chapter 10. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Verse 20. Then said he, knowest thou that wherefore I come unto thee, and now would I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And I am gone forth, though the prince of Greece shall come. This prince of principality, or prince is to say somebody who holds authority. So Micah is called a prince. Micah is called a prince, a chief prince. One of those who are higher than all other angels too. One who was a leader, or is a leader. And you know, he says about the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece. He said, I fight with the prince of Persia. He's talking about wars in heaven. And you know, there's always wars in heaven. Every day, you know, the angels are watching over us, keeping watch over us. Demons will try to destroy your faith and trap you. Do you know that, don't you? You see? And that's why the angels of God are sent to be ministering spirits. They come, they are sent to guide you, to keep watch over you. Because we don't pray to the angels. Not at all. They are just guarding angel. And Micah is fighting for Israel. And then even as we said this, you know, and Jesus said, whatsoever you lose in heaven shall be loose on earth. Remember the Lord's what Jesus talked with Paul Peter in the book of Matthew? That's true. Whatsoever you bind on earth, you shall be bind in heaven. It means everything that's already reflected. God already foreknown these things. And what is going to happen, what is happening on earth that is fighting, we always talk about, or general people talk about, war between light and darkness, so to speak. And in this world, look at the political situation of the world. You have the bad guy one side, the terrorist one side, the good guy one side, that sort of thing. You know what I mean? And the prince, the angels, that's why some who want, when he studied their angelology, tried to categorize the different spheres of angelic being. And there are some that watch over nations, some watch over a city, some watch over the village, and things like that. They want to categorize all of these things. But one thing for sure, God's angelic beings are sent out over the world as judgment angels. There is this Michael that watch over Israel, fight for Israel. That he is, that he being a chief prince, he have all the other angels with him. Angelic being with him. Now the demons are working. Don't forget, Satan, he is the chief of the bad guys, of the bad angels. He is the chief. He leads all the other angels being to go and, well, cause trouble, so to say. We always say, Guigiana. Yeah? The little demons. But they have a work to do. That is the work. And the Bible said, hey, Satan knows that he had but a short time. And his purpose is to destroy. Abaddon. The destroyer. I mean, if he's a destroyer, what can he do? But he destroy. What does terrorists do? They terrorize. That's the purpose. If we are children of light, we uphold the light. Isn't that right? Sure. An angelic being, the demons are out there. And they are always manipulating the nations of the world. They will come and they will try to influence every believer to trap them, to bring them down. But God's angels are watching over us. So as much as Michael was watching over Israel, on the way he came, he was held back. Huh? And you think about it, what's happening out there in the heavens. It's a lot of activities that are going on. And you think the angels of God are created to do nothing? Michael, Gabriel, and all the other archangels that we don't have names in the Bible for, they are very hard at work. Do you know that? And likewise, you and I, we should be hard at work for the kingdom of God. That's why the angels are ministering spirit. They are coming. They are with us to help us. And we should be thankful what God has done for us. I just remembered, you know, what I wrote the last few days. A little portions of what I don't really want to talk much about. Because sometimes, each time I think about it, I shudder, you know. But I'm putting these little portions of what happened years ago on the internet. Under reminiscing. Each time I think back, the year that when I began to travel, it was 1981. 1980, November, Brother Houghton came in. When he discerned that ministry of mine, then the Lord was actually already showing me to get out of nursing and to travel. So the following year I traveled, the first place I went was India in April. It was hot, it was terrible. It was a very bad experience together with Brother Patrick. You know, wow, it was more than 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Dry, lips cracked up and everything. And it was kind of like, you know, sort of, hey, look, you want to be a missionary? This is a hard life, you know. This is one thing. But it's not so bad, that's okay. But the following 2 months later, in the month of June, I went over to the States and then Brother Jackson's convention and then came back. Then on the way back, we went to Disneyland. By that time, of course, Zoe was 2 years old, and Zoe was 5 years old. So we're going to bring them anyway to Disneyland. So for us, now, I was in my 30s, of course, I've never been to Disneyland, so we kind of look around and I always like to go on a wild ride. So, well, we went to Disneyland, and we of course, was in L.A., Los Angeles, checking the hotel, and then we took the bus down. The bus that takes us to Disneyland. And that was back in 81, not what it is today, where you have everything packaged for you. So, when we left Disneyland, the sun was already set. And the street light was on. So we took a bus that brought us to the terminal, the bus terminal, which was a few blocks away from, you know, the hotel. And I was thinking that we can just walk. My wife said, no, you better not, it's too dark already. So, okay, we hop into a taxi. And the taxi brought us to the hotel. As we approached the hotel, the entrance of the hotel, there were vehicles parked there. You know, maybe there are some customer or client, guest of the hotel that just came in. So the taxi driver couldn't get in. He just moved and parked on the side of the wall of the hotel, which is about 50 feet away, 40 or 50 feet away. Not too far. And I got out of the car, paid a taxi man and got out of the car. I bent over to pick up Zoel with my sling with the bag on my right shoulder. So I was sleeping in the back seat, and Tracy already was carrying Zoe. So when I about to pick up Zoe, I found myself sliding on the pavement, you know. And then I was looking up like a pavement, wondering all of a sudden, it was all very fast. Wondering what am I there? And I saw these two black men in white. Big men, 6 footers. One of them was pulling my back, and it was hooked to my arm. I wouldn't let go. The other one was kicking me automatically in my self-defense action. I fought back. I was on my kick back so hard. And the guys kept killing me, and I aimed for the man, one of the men's groin. You know what? I almost hit him. And I wonder what would have happened if I had hit him. The moment I kicked at him, and I missed him, and he was so furious, his big foot, well, size 12, size 10, huge feet, foot, let it out on my face. Let that come out very fast. You know what? I saw it coming, and then suddenly I turned my head to the right, and his feet just hit my ear, brushed against my ear. Pop! Then I realized, you know, oh, in that one instant, let go of the back. Let them have it. I let go of the back, the guy stopped kicking, I stopped kicking back, and the taxi driver came out with a crowbar, we chased him. I yelled at them to return our passport, but of course, they wouldn't want to give back the passport. They're only interested to get whatever they want. There was nothing much in the bag, the passport and some Hong Kong dollars and a Yashica camera. But we were stranded. Now, when I go back to the hotel, we just prayed, and then, you know, I think about it. I went into you know how you feel when you look back and say, wow, if that food had landed on my face, you know, I'd be dead. Do you know that? The guy was trying to kill me. If you hit on your nose, you know what happened to your nose, nasal bone, it goes right back, you die instantly. Instant death. If I don't turn my face. And if you have slept on my side, it will have been fractured my jaw. That is quick instant. Everything goes so fast. When I turn my head, and I said, I got to let go, because I don't even know whether I have guns or knife. And I knew that Satan was trying to get me. Satan was trying to get me into this place, a situation that I would never carry the gospel to this part of the world. Well, we were stranded. We called somebody in Oakland and they put us up. We got to get our passport or a paper to exit. So we spent about 3 weeks there. Within the first week, while we were there, I love horses. So a sister, one daughter asked me, do you want to ride a horse? Oh, yeah, sure, you know. And I introduced to the horse. The horse, name was Abigail. So I packed the horse and talked to her and gave him some sugar cube for some carrot beets I took from the kitchen, you know. And I just talked to the horse and all this. It was a full-grown horse. A man, full brown, stand up very high. You know those big horns. No, not a pony. And I wouldn't want to ride a pony. It's just riding a donkey. So the sister set her up, and I got up. The home of this family was down at the mountain. And you know San Francisco, I mean, you know that California is a healing country. Oakland, just a little outside the city, was a hill. So I took the horse up. Running up, not so bad, because the path was about 10 feet wide. 10 feet or so wide. You go up the mountain, it was a cliff, and the right was all the way down to the ravine. So I rode the horse up. You know, talking to the horse, go all the way up, trotting all the way up, take a nice time, go up to the mountain. Oh, you had a nice view. I could see across San Francisco Bay. I could see the city out there, far away. It was on a mountaintop. So, well, just enjoy the blue sky and have a little time, you know. You know, and then ride the horse and gallop a little bit and make, you know, we circle one big round, mountain, to come back on the other way. Now, when we come back on the other way, since you are not on that other pathway, that path that we come down to join to that pathway was very narrow. It's about 5-6 feet wide. And it was a cliff. Remember that. The mountains on my left. And then you can look down the cliff all the way down. Okay, so, well, that's no problem, you know. So, what? Ride the horse down. As the horse walks down, you know, the cliff, you don't want to trot. You just let the horse walk. As it comes down towards this slope, it's about 150 yards. All of a sudden, the horse decided to balk. My goodness, he just turned, run. And you know, when he run, when I see the horse the way it was, head put forward like this, straight and low down. And you know, I know this is a runaway horse. This is a problem now. You know, I said, oh, he refused. The horse, the head is already straight and he's down. No way that you can control a horse, that you have to let it run. So when the horse run, I let it run. Wow, the moment I took my eyes off on the horse, I saw ahead of me a tree, which was going by the side of the cliff, with its branch across the path, aiming for my throat. And my goodness, in one instant, when the horse balked, I had to turn myself to the left, riding like a, what you call, a circle rider, you know. Grip all the way down with one leg on the other side, holding onto the stirrup and everything, gripping tight. And the branches just brushed against my ear and my shoulder. Then the horse passed through it. Then I get out. And then I let it run until the horse, the path comes up to join the other main path that we came up on. It suddenly sloped up. So as the horse come out, I tuck on his, on the rein. And I tuck it and say, whoa, come on, everybody, whoa! And the horse pulled back, slow down. You know, I was breathing heavily. And I looked back at that path. I could have died. I could even have fallen off the horse or hit the branch and hang on that tree. And nobody knows. You know, so all this happened within 1 week. And that's the activities of what we see. In the realm as, you know how the brother Abraham in his ministry, they, you know, he had gone through a lot of trouble too. I believe Satan works against us to get us out from the Word of God, to get us out from the ministry of God, to get us out from the life of God. That is his work. He won't want you to have that peace. That's why he creates a problem in the family, problem in your career, in your job, in the schooling, whatever it is. All kinds of trials and tribulation and temptation and sickness and whatever. The devil wanted to take you away from God. But what Paul says, I'm persuaded. Nothing. No height, no depth, no this, no that. Is that right? So that's how, when we begin to understand, Satan will not rest. He does all his best he can. But we have Christ with us. Amen? Alright, let's go to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 again. Here you see, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stand for the children of thy people. Here again, it's Michael. And then we go to chapter 8, verse 16. Here we have, I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ula, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Now, isn't it funny that people in the Norwegian say, oh, make some problem being a false prophet because an angel coming to talk with him and give him visions and this and that. Hey, angels are God's servant. Here we have God told Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So what's so impossible? There are messengers that carries a message. Right? Huh? The servant spirit stood before the throne of God. Those spirits are attributes of God to do something, and they are carrying from the throne of God to angelic, seven angelic beings, heavenly spirit beings. And each of these angels are tied to an earthly messenger for each of all the seven church ages. Remember the seven angels that appeared above and said the one on the right is the seventh one, said the one that took to me. That's the one that ministered to him. Do you understand? They are carrier of message. They are just like a messenger boy. So they have work to do. Okay, chapter 9, verse 21. Yeah, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man, Gabriel. See, the Bible always uses the man. But I don't know who, I just read an article in the website a couple of weeks ago. I was just thinking this guy must be off his head. Gabriel was a woman. Gabriel was a woman. Why? Why was Gabriel a woman? Oh, because Gabriel appeared to Mary. Huh? Just because Gabriel appeared to Mary, Gabriel was a woman. And the Bible clearly says the man, Gabriel. All angelic beings, mind you, they always appear as a man. That is not woman angel. Because angels are both male and female in the attributes. As it says, they are like God, a spirit being. But the only thing they're different is that they will never get married. For one good reason, because God did not create woman angel. In other words, huh? You think about it. Oh, God made male and female mankind on this earth. So be fruitful and multiply. But the angel, he never created a plan, a path. And said, so, be fruitful and multiply. I produce little cherubic babies, you know, with wings. No, not at all. They all create spirit. So was Adam, when he was created a spirit. Then God put him in the body. Then to separate the male and female attribute. Do you understand? Angels cannot, because they do not have sonship. They don't have the spirit of sonship. You see. And God never created them a physical body and put them in, then separate them out, male, female, no, you don't. Because they are created as servants. But whereas we are created as sons and daughters of God. That's why we have relationship with God as our Father. The angels, they do not call God as Father. Because they are not sons to God. So there is a relationship only for us and God. So there is this relationship of Father and Son. Alright, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 21, verse 19. And the angel answered, said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God. Now look at that position. He was one of the chief princes. Gabriel, is not just an ordinary angel. So you want to call him a cherub? He's just a male. Do you understand that? Okay. Then we have in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee. So we have Gabriel. Now these are archangels. Now let's go to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2 verse 1. And an angel of the Lord. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Ochim and said, I make you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your father. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Who is this angel? Remember in the King James Version, capital, all capital four letters of L-O-R-D is Yahweh. Not Adonai. All capitals, letter, always translate, it's translated from the Hebrew word Yahweh. The angel of Yahweh. Now this is, the Bible says an angel. Now it is a bad translation. If you have New King James, always try to put everything in the proper place. And you will have New King James said, and the angel of the Lord. So it is the angel of the Lord. Not an ordinary angel. It is the messenger of God. It's the one that was a theophany of God. The one that was in the likeness of the face of Christ. He's the one that was sent by God to the children of Israel to guide and lead the children out of Egypt into the promised land. Malachi 3:1. The last book of the Old Testament. Malachi. Chapter 3 verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger and he shall prepare the way before me. Now that's John the Baptist. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to the temple, even the messenger of the covenant. The Lord, Adonai, the one that you are seeking, the one who is the Messiah. Even he is the messenger of the covenant. So he is the messenger of the covenant. He is the angel of the covenant. Remember, when Jesus Christ appeared, he was the Messiah. He was the very angel of the covenant in the Old Testament, prefiguring Christ to come. So when Christ was baptized in the River Jordan, that Logos that appeared throughout the Old Testament, theophany himself to all the prophets of old, now ceased. And the Word is now incarnate into Jesus Christ. So he became the messenger whom you seek. The messenger whom you seek. Even he is the angel of the covenant. Now fulfilling the work in the flesh. Once the theophany, once Jesus Christ comes to his place. Once Bethlehem took place, the birth, the theophany of God ceased. You got it? There cannot be a theophany of God and a child being born. The work of the theophany now manifested and stopped. Now because here God is bringing in another era. So you will never see Jesus Christ and yet another theophany. But you can have two. You understand? Alright? Okay, let's go. Numbers 20, verse 16. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 16. And when we cry to the Lord, no, that's Yahweh. He heard our voice and sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt. Who is this angel? It's the angel of the covenant. It's a bad translation, huh? King James does not differentiate. Because in the Hebrew there is no definite and indefinite article. But by reading the text, they should have not used the word "and." Okay? The angel. It says the angels. Now, Genesis 22, verse 11. Genesis 22, verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called out unto him. Now, Lord, again, is Yahweh. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. That's the same angel, the messenger. Always try to use the word messenger, angel, and translate the messenger if you can. Because that's what the word in the Hebrew means, malach. And that's the way it should be translated, messenger. Only in the Greek we have agelo, A-G-E-L-O, agelo, or angelo, which we say translated as angel, which means actually means messenger also. But again, the imagery is like this. It comes up always as angel. Anything that comes from heaven is always angel. Angel, angel. Nothing in that, it is also a messenger. Because angels are messengers, we know that. But they don't want to translate it as messenger. That sounds a bit strange to some people. Alright? Exodus 23. And verse 20. Behold, I set an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. Huh. Here you would have to be a better translation is, behold, I send my messenger before thee. My messenger. My angel. This is the angel of the Lord. The same angel. So when we talk about angels, we talk about the angel of the Lord. Angel of the Lord. L, capital L-O-R-D. The word all in capital is Yahweh. Got it? Not an angel. Is the angel. Or my angel. Not just an angel. This is the one that have the covenant. This is the one that God sent. This is the one the Bible called my face, panim, presence, parousia, as in the Greek. Alright, let's go to Exodus 33, verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. My presence. Actually, translate the word present is sometimes translated as face. My face. I saw the presence of God. I saw the face of God. Jacob, I saw the face of God. Abraham saw the face of God. How did he know that was Melchizedek? How did he know? What did he represent? Because the revelation was shown to him. See? Alright? Let's go further. Psalms 34. Psalms 34 at verse 16. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The face of the Lord, or the angel of the Lord, is against them. It's the same. Just a different form of imagery or metaphor being used. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. See, before God ever sent the messenger to Israel, he already was there, this presence of God, this angel of the Lord. Is it this angel of the Lord, or this Logos body, the word body, that is called the presence of God? God's the Spirit, He's in heaven. But He came down, earth is supposed to, He came down to walk in the body. And he feasts with Adam and Eve at banks of river, perhaps eating some grapes and whatever, and fellowship with them. Huh? In that body, he can eat. Do you know that? He can have fellowship. And Adam and Eve saw the face of God. It's the same face that Abraham saw, Gideon saw. All the other, Ezekiel, everybody in the Old Testament, they saw. Same face. you saw the face of God. That's the only one face. The only thing that each of them see him, perhaps differently in the way that he dressed. If he want to show a certain role. Do you understand? Alright? Like the three men that walked down in the cool of the day to Abraham. Well, they might just be walking down with this old garment like a common stranger on the road, going on a long journey with a staff in the hand. I mean, when you go on a long journey on those days, you walk and walk, you normally use a staff, in case there's something on the road, you want to hit it away or whatever, you could have stopped. But if the angel of the Lord appears in another form, like standing before you, he doesn't have to carry a staff. Now when he comes down in the cool of the evening with to fellowship with Adam, he doesn't have to carry the staff. You know, so it depends how he play his role. Do you get it? To Abraham, high priest should come in the high priest role. That's why Abraham recognized. By the vision there, Gideon saw him as he appeared before Gideon. He was wearing something. You know, who are you? Yeah, he's the captain of a lot of hosts. He looked at a stranger to him. Where did he appear from? What are you doing here? Whose side are you on? Things like that, you know. Alright, so it's my face or my presence which is panim. Now, let's go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. On chapter 14, verse 20. To fetch about this form of speech, had thy servant Job done this thing. My Lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God. Now here, it says an angel of God. An angel of God. Whenever you see the word Old Testament, angel of God, it's always Elohim. So it is not referring to the angel of the covenant. It's not the angel of the Lord. It's just an ordinary angel. An angel of God. One of those many thousands and thousands of angels. So that's why you have the differentiation. 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 18. 1 Kings 13 verse 18. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art, and an angel spake unto me. See, an angel, still an ordinary angel. Now let us go to the King New Testament now. Because in the New Testament, it is written in Greek. So there is no Yahweh or Elohim. Matthew 28 and verse 2. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. You know, Jesus was buried in a sarcophagus, right? Isn't it so? Of course, he was already resurrected, gone somewhere. And the Bible said, the angel of the Lord came and rolled the stone away. You mean that Jesus Christ, when he resurrected, he come back, has the angel of the Lord and roll his stone away? Who is this? You see, New Testament, it's not written in Hebrew. So the word Lord here is always spelled as Kurios. Alright? Kurios. And because it is written, people think that this is the same as the Old Testament, angel of the Lord, angel of the Lord. It is not. It's just an angel. Alright. Acts, chapter 1, sorry. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 20. And while he thought on this thing, behold, the angel of God appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, same again. This cannot be the angel of the covenant, because, as I said, theophany ceased. Do you understand? When I say theophany, I mean God, pure God, finny manifestation. And the way the Bible uses the word theophany is kind of a cause a lot of problem people to really understand what the word theophany is. When we say angel, when it appears before you, you call it angelophany. But people always say, theophany of the angel. It is not a good term. Huh? Theophany means God's manifestation, appearance in the form that you can see in the Old Testament. So as I said, the theophany of God ceased when Bethlehem started, when Christ was born. So this angel is an ordinary angel. It's not the angel of God with the face that Abraham saw. The face that Adam saw. Or the face that Ezekiel, Gideon, Daniel saw. No, it is not. It isn't. Alright? Let's go on. The next one, chapter 2, verse 19. Again, here we have, just to show you the verses. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph. An angel was sent. It should not be translated as the angel of the Lord. Okay, in many of those places where they use the angel of the Lord in the New Testament, it cannot be used that way. And Acts chapter 12, verse 23. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God, not a man. Verse 23. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was seated on a womb and gave up the ghost. See, the angel of the Lord is to be, and immediately an angel of God smote him. Now here we go to chapter 7 of Acts now. Chapter 7 of Acts, verse 30. Here, Stephen took his stand when he was stoned. And when 40 years was expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. Now who is this? Now this is not an angel now. It's in a flame of fire. And because you have a record too, over there in your book of Exodus. But here even mentioned the flame of fire. So this is the angel of the Lord. We've got to read in context. That's the most important. We cannot just pick a verse. And then say, oh, here, angel of the Lord. That is the angel of the Lord. The same angel of the Lord from Old Testament all the way. No, it is not. You need to read within context what the angel, which angel are we talking, what the writers are referring to, or what God wanting you to see. Alright, can I, in closing with this, we have understanding now that seraphim, cherubim, wheels, licks of fire, and all these things are to depict the glory, the activities, the thing that is happening around the throne. God is a consuming fire, the righteousness of the holiness of God. And you cannot approach God seeing all this glory and fire and all around. That's the reason why the cherubim was placed on the east of the Garden of Eden. With that flaming sword turning everywhere to keep the way of the tree of life. It shows that you can never approach that your way. As man was cast out eastward in death, there will be life returned back from the east, back to the Garden of Eden. And you know what the Garden of Eden was, don't you? That's Israel. And God kept that tree of life until He brought it forth in His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And He is the Word of life, is the way, the truth, and the life. The way what? The way to God. The way to the life in the garden, in paradise. Huh? He is the truth. He is the life. He is the resurrection. Without the resurrection, I can tell you one thing, you can never have life. You have the resurrection and the life. So there needs to be a gospel given where life that was cast out must go back to the same place. And that's why Jesus died buried and resurrected and ascended to heaven from the very place where we see sin came in. He came to take away the sins of the world. Pay the price for propitiation for sin. Now who is the angel that came to Brother Branham? Is it an honorary angel? His angel? Or is it the angel of the Lord? When we use the word, now we use the word the angel of the Lord, we use it as a form of, we say, the presence of God. If God would help me or not, I do not know, Brother Bam said. You know, whether He will come and help me, I don't know. Yes, you know, I'm waiting for Him. He talks like this. But He was referring to the presence of God that will come. And you know, the angel that will begin to minister to Him kept no... The angel cannot do anything by his own, by themselves. They have to be directed. Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Do you understand? So when we refer to the angel of the Lord, we still talk about the presence of God. Or the face of the Lord. And so if Christ appeared today, not now before you, His form will be different from the form that Abraham saw. Different from the form that Moses saw. Why? Because what you see in Him now, He had, it's not a theophany body. He would have a spiritual body, a body that is made up of a physical flesh that has been supernaturally energized or mixed or a whole thing that you say, well, I would not know what you want to call that, you know, transformed by the power of that word body. And that's what you're going to have, and that's what I'm going to have. When that word body, or when that spirit body that God promised us, when He comes and picks us up, then His body will change. It will change. And that's why when Jesus appeared, when you go to see Christ, you will see His nail print in His hand. It will still be there. You will see that wound by His side. And if you go and talk to John the Baptist, you will see one big scar along his head, neck. But his head will chop off. Don't you think so? All those battle scars, we will say, our battle scar will remain. Because ours will not know what to do with it. You see, you go up there, there'll be millions of all the saved one of Christ. Then you see somebody whom you do not know, maybe that he lived 100 years ago, 200 years ago. And he went up to him. Wow. You saw something around his neck. Maybe something was pierced on his side. What? How did you get this? So, well, you know, I was there doing my missionary work, and here come all these bad guys with spears and a sickle in their hand, and they give me a hard time. You know, all those are the scars. But you know, but I don't look ugly with that scar on my neck. Or you think you're living in the carnal world? You're living in the spiritual world. You're not living in the carnal world where everybody here got a little pimple. They go out there somewhere to buy some cream to get rid of the pimple. Huh? Or they have a crooked nose. They want to go for a makeover. Is that alright? You're not living in that kind of world. Do you remember? What is beauty? Skin deep. Beauty fades with time. But ugliness? No. Ugliness will hold its own. As year passes by, it gets more ugly. It will hold its own. Now, I've always been ugly. See how ugly I am? But beauty, one moment, 50 years later, no more beauty. You will fade with time. But when the spiritual body is given us, you will never fade with time. It will be a memory. It will be something that we always remember. Whenever we see Christ, we knew what Christ done for us. When we see John the Baptist, we know how he had suffered. Don't you think so? That's a memory, good memory of what God has done in our life. Huh? Don't you understand it? So, the angel that came to Brother Abraham is not the angel of the Lord. It's the seven angels that appeared there. 6 footer, 6 feet something. I don't know how many feet he mentioned. 200 pounds. That's not Christ. Huh? That's not Christ. You want to know how Christ, how tall Christ was? Well, go do a little research of what was recorded in the days when, of the Roman Empire when he was standing before Caesar, Pontius Pilate. I think it's Pontius Pilate record. How tall he was. Auburn hair, things like that, you know. Hair part in the center here. Hair down to his shoulders. I think he's about 5'8" or something like that. Man who doesn't have any special thing to look about him, you know. The Bible talks about him, there's no, nothing to desire. He's not a handsome man. Christ is not a handsome man. Oh, I'm so glad for that. Because you know what? The problem is that people are looking at handsomeness and beauty. And if Jesus Christ was very handsome, people will follow him. There'll be probably a lot of, you know, people, you know, that's the world. When you get somebody out who's such a great speaker, who will go out there and do all kinds of things publicly, I can tell you, we get a man, handsome man, he will follow. You know, I was reading the newspaper when this Bollywood came to film something on the streets out there in our city. This Indian fella, he's a movie star. Huh? He's tall. He's nice looking. Did you know that? Oh. You see how a woman was sworn if he walked the streets of Singapore by himself. Everybody will follow him. And all those girls, young ladies will have their mobile phone and camera. They're right in front. Let me take a picture with you. Sure, they will do that. Don't you think so? It's that human character. But I thank God, God is in simplicity. A face that is common. The common man faced. Neither this, nor that, but just a common face. So the dove, what is the dove? The dove comes down. Again, you know, a dove is white. That is not a black dove that John saw. Obviously. But that's dove to show that the Spirit of God has come down. Why is use a dove? Why not an eagle? Why not an eagle? Because all these are symbols of something that we know. All the way the Old Testament dove has been used for sacrifices. Gentle birds. A bird, what we call, they call them the love bird, turtle dove. Another word they use is called turtle dove. They always put their neck around each other. That's a love bird. And God's love came down in Jesus Christ. He's giving His word to you. He's the life of His, the spirit of His word. Came down. That's what the Bible is trying to show us. Why not an eagle, as I said? Why not a crow or some other bird? Maybe a peacock. Why? Because our mind is in tune with something that God has already shown us. Something that we have this image of through all this knowledge that are in the Bible. Pillar of fire, pillar of cloud. I spoke earlier now. Let's go to the last two verses of scriptures and we close. Ezekiel 43. Ezekiel 43. I beg your pardon, I didn't know that there was this verses here. Ezekiel 43 verse 2. And behold, the glory of the Lord of Israel came from the way of the east, and His voice was like a noise of many waters. Now, we go over to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne of God. Sorry, I'm reading the wrong one. Revelation 4, chapter 5. Correct, I'm sorry. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps with fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Then chapter 14, verse 2. The last verse. And I heard a voice from heaven as a voice of many waters, as a voice of a great thunder, as a voice of harper harping with their harps. So you see all this thundering, lightning, voices that sounds of many waters, much water as running down, cascading. Huh? Remember we read earlier in Ezekiel also chapter 1 and 10 how that those seraphim, those living creatures move forward He saw me, dude, there was this ball of lightning being thrown, light being flashed. That's a lot of activity. That just shows God's glory. God's awesome power. All the activity with all the angelic beings all around there. All this imagery that we understand of the glory of God. But when we go to heaven one of these days and meet God face to face, what do you think He will be? Huh? You think that there will be a lot of fire around Him that you can approach Him or what? Huh? When He came down in the form of a simple man. He's not a God that's like some other people whose God is always hideous looking. And it's so hard to even to approach Him. But the unapproachable God of Israel make a way for us to approach Him. And all the imagery showed of Him, that He's somebody that is all powerful, fearful to look upon, because of the sins of people, man can never approach Him. And you see all the fire and all that, it just shows that you are going to face death whenever you try to come to Him your way. But God make a way for you to approach Him by Him approaching you and me first. And that's a whole lot of different story, isn't it? About the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Appreciate again thy word. Take it and break it down further, Father, for us to understand. And we are thankful once again, Lord, for you being so simple, O God, in every way to make us common people to understand your love, your glory, your grace, your mercy, your power, and all that you are, your life, especially for us all. And we ask that, Lord Jesus, that you continue to stir in our hearts that thirst for thy word, Lord, and to journey on in this journey until we see Jesus Christ face to face. Be with us and keep watch over us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.